Well, as I said on Sunday, I'm continuing with these studies over the next few times, and we're still dealing with standing against the devil by prayer. Standing against the devil by prayer, and we are showing you how that in our prayer time, our prayer life with God, how that we are very much up against the powers of darkness, and that God wants to teach us a lot more with regard to prayer and intercession and warfare. And he's certainly teaching us how we approach him with regard to this. But of course, we know we can do nothing unless the Holy Spirit's there to lead, guide, and teach us. And he will never, of course, go contrary to his word, what he reveals. But all of this, as you know, is already recorded. It's on our website. And we left off last time on the fifth area, resist Satan by faith. So we showed you the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, how we resist the enemy by the word of God, by that word which we quote. Well, we're moving on to the sixth area with regard to these teachings, and we're calling this one under the sixth area, watch your heart and mind. So it is important how we are in our mind and in our thinking. Because, of course, the enemy will try and get in any way he can. And a lot of our attacks are to stop us from praying and interceding. The enemy hates saints that pray, that believe in their prayers, and that their prayers are effective before Almighty God. I think every one of us knows those attacks only too well. But we have to watch our heart and mind, particularly with regard to prayer. You see, we've got to refuse anything negative into the heart and mind. And sometimes we need to ask the Lord to help us to discern what would be negative into our mind and heart. Sometimes we're not always sure whether that is negative, that is not in God's word. Because remember that the enemy comes at times like an angel of light. So we ask God, when we come before him in prayer, that our heart, our motives are right, our hands are clean before him, before we get into prayer. And God will show if there is something that we're harboring or whatever that could hinder our prayers and intercessions. But we have to refuse anything negative into our heart and mind. Those things that harbor on resentful or things that are depressive. We have to guard our hearts and minds, for this is where the enemy often strikes. He tries to get us down in any way or form he can. He'll try and work it sometimes with depression, or as I've already said, something that is negative. He'll try in whatever way he can so that he can stop us from praying and interceding effectively. As we're told in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So it clearly says in Proverbs that we're to keep our hearts with diligence. In other words, we're to keep our hearts open before God, that the Lord will search my heart, that there is nothing there that is displeasing to him. That is what it's meaning there. And as he says, to keep our hearts with all diligence, out of it springs the issues of life. So life, our life, springs from the heart, the seat of the emotions. And that, of course, is where the enemy tries to attack, because we know the heart and the mind, and the mind and the heart are connected. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the word of God says. So the enemy is no fool. He knows where to try and attack. But we're told to be diligent, which is a sort of military term, to guard, to keep, to guard over your mind, to be alert with your mind. Refuse every thought that is critical. We're bombarded with critical things, whether it's listening to the news, people at times talking around you, or at work, or whatever it is. We're bombarded with critical things, and many, many times you need to just let that go in one ear and out the other, and not entertain it. Things that are impure are just not clean, not edifying. Things that can be offensive. Again, we have to guard our minds against those things that can disturb us, that we don't like what we hear, or where we see things that are unjust. The world is filled with unjust things. We've got it in our politics. We've got it everywhere. This world in the natural is so unjust, but we have to guard our minds against this, that it doesn't affect us and bring us down. Things that are detrimental, those things that are unkind. There is so much unkindness in the world. We have to watch our pride, hate, those things that are resentful. We have to guard against resentment because somebody said something unkind or critical toward me. Again, we have to guard our minds. Or slander and gossip, which really, in other words, is lies. Again, we mustn't allow ourselves to be affected by gossip or slander, particularly if it's said about us. But to pray for those who persecute us. We have to deal with our doubts and our unbelief, because the enemy tries to get us to question the word of God and the promises of God's word. These are all areas that attack in making our prayer life ineffectual, trying to hinder our prayers. With those areas of anxiety, oh, how the enemy tries to work with that one. And we mustn't be anxious about anything. God has it under complete control, no matter how it looks, and it often looks so bad, so negative. We have to watch against anger and wrath, that we just, which sometimes we come to the end of ourselves. Again, we have to guard our minds. And finally, one of the strong ones, that's self-pity. That is always a strong one. And you have to, again, close the door to any of that where you're feeling sorry for yourself. You feel you're hard done by. Why is this happening to me? It doesn't happen to other people, and so on. The enemy becomes so vocal in all of this. And why did he do this? Because he doesn't want us to pray effectively before God. Satan is more terrified when Christians get into prayer than anything else, because it puts the enemy to flight. You see, failure to guard one's mind is one of the main problems. And a lot of Christians that don't guard their minds, that's why they're open to oppression and depression, which shouldn't be in a Christian. I mean, we may have to battle at times depression, yes. If we, maybe we've just gone through an illness, we don't feel very well. But we still have to put that guard on our minds and let the word of God minister. Because today we are confronted with so much mental issues, which is getting worse and worse. And of course, we know what this is. This is demon activity. We're told that in the last days, there will be a huge manifestation of demons. And we're already seeing it. We're seeing it in society. And the tragedy is we're seeing it in younger and younger people. And along with that, of course, is sickness. Disease. People are so fearful now. They have so many fears and phobias. We see that there's so much strife today. Strife in family, at work, in politics, in every field. Dissensions. People are in despair. Don't know what to do, don't know who to turn to. They're finding that man, the arm of the flesh, isn't reliable. And people are so negative now. These are all things that we can easily pick up ourselves, because often we're mixing with people, we're in the world. Jesus has left us in the world for a reason. And it's our learning ground. It's where we learn to overcome. There are many people who are negative today. Many have these panic attacks. And it just goes on. You could add the list in all of this. Why am I raising this? Because all of these things can so attack and hinder our prayer. Our prayer life. And much of what I have mentioned there is actually in the heart, in the mind. Many of these things are going on in the head. And people know that. And this is where God delivers us, and this is where we put a guard on. We have the mind of Christ. You see, the warfare is in the heavens, and it's between God and Satan for control. Did you know that? That is where much of warfare goes on. It's in the heavens between Satan and Christ. Who is going to have the whole and control? Because the enemy is trying to control you. He doesn't want you praying, believing. And if he can get access, he can determine the course of events for your life. If he gets access into your mind and you let him have access, he can determine the course in events of your life. And he'll let you think that's the Holy Spirit leading you. He can rob you, causing you to be ineffective in the kingdom of God, in ministry. He can hold and bind you. There's a lot of Christians who are held and bound, even though they're confessing Christ. Why? Because they've allowed the enemy to have access to the mind, and we have to close those doors. Now let's look at some scriptures. We've given quite a lot here. And God wants us to be effective in our prayers. Romans 8 verse 7. Romans 8 and verse 7. He says here, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. And that is the problem. If the enemy has access to the mind, he's going to stop you from following and yielding to the word of God. He knows exactly how to attack. So to have a mind like this is going to hinder your prayer life. And it not only hinders our prayer life, but it hinders our faith in believing. And our faith in believing always works by love. And so if we love God, we love the truth, we love his word, we love purity, we love holiness, we love that peace that we have with God, we're going to pursue it. And we're eventually going to get the enemy off our back. What does it say in Romans 12 and verse 2? Romans 12 verse 2. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and accept and perfect will of God. So the mind is under renewal. And no finer place for God to renew our minds is when we come under this anointing and the word of God is open in our fellowship. This is always one of the works that God does with our meetings. He's renewing our minds, meaning that we are closing doors, access to the mind. And it's a process, it's a work, so that your prayer life can be effective before Almighty God. You see, we're to have his mind created in us. And that's what it really means. It means that his mind is being created in my mind. I've taken on the mind of Christ. Now he's working that, creating his mind, his thinking, his word, everything that he is, in my mind and thinking. I mean, that's mind-blowing. That's the work and power of the Holy Spirit doing that work. No wonder the enemy tries to hold access to the mind. But he's defeated. And we know that because Jesus dealt with him at the cross at Calvary. You see, so much today is psychosomatic. It's a large part of what works in the mind. These difficulties and problems, all of which can be resolved by having a right thinking and mind and attitude. This is why God has given us his promises. And we confess these promises over us. These promises in his word, make them your confession. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. His life has been imparted to me. When we start confessing that, believing that, bringing that out in prayer, you will watch, you'll begin to see deliverance taking place. And that's why we believe that the cross is doing that work as we die daily, that the life of Christ works through us. Let's just remind ourselves of some of these scriptures again that we know so well that helps us with our belief, our praying. As the apostle said to the Galatians in chapter 2, verse 20, we know this well, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Wow. Now listen to that. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's just break that down. We know this very well. We sing it. I have been crucified with Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's going to crucify you. You don't have to crucify yourself. Just make yourself available and the cross will do its work. And we know when the cross is doing its work because you yield to it. You don't fight it. Because he says it's no longer I who live. We are a new creation in Christ. I don't live anymore. My old life that was is dead, finished. Sometimes you need to confess that over yourself. But Christ lives in me. And that is what it's about. And the life which I now live in the flesh, which we obviously do, we're still in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And our faith is even a gift that he's given to us, who loved me and gave himself for me. No wonder the enemy tries to stop us from praying. When you have such verses and promises there, what is it saying? Galatians 5 and verse 24. Galatians 5 and verse 24. And he says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And that's what it does. The cross will do its work. All we do is settle it like Jesus did. And God will do the rest. And then you will start to experience his power, his life, taking over in our weakness. What does it say in Romans 6:6? Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. There we are. We're not a slave to it anymore. So it means he's made us a new creation. He's placed his life, his spirit in us. So that means also our minds are being renewed, brought into line with the life that now lives in you. And that's why the battle is on at times, the battle in the mind, because the enemy knows he's losing hold in your mind. And as he loses hold, as you close the door to those areas in your mind where he's had access, then your prayers become effective and warfare. What does Isaiah have to say about this? Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength, and so on. Just look at that promise there. Whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Now, you can't do that in the natural, but when you pray and ask God, Lord, keep my mind on you 24/7. Work that within me. Of course, God's going to do that. He won't turn down a prayer like that. Yes, the battle will be on. Yes, the enemy won't like it, but that doesn't matter. The victory has already been won. Because my strength lies in him, as it says in Isaiah. How about if we turn to Philippians? I know a lot of these verses you know very well, but I make no apology for bringing them up many times because our faith comes as we read in the Word of God. In Philippians 4, verses 7 and 8, Philippians 4, 7 and 8, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. There you are. We meditate on these things. We close the door to the negative and meditate on that which is good. And as we've read here in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace comes in relationship with him. When you are at peace, in harmony, oneness, he is your guard. He's going to raise a standard against the enemy, where he's trying to attack your mind. But you have to make that first move. You have to close those areas to the mind where the enemy still has access. And then God, he works in return. You see, overcoming Satan isn't always just rebuking every thought that comes into the mind, but it's dismissing every thought by the act of the will. Many thoughts come into the mind. They just suddenly come there like a fiery dart. You think, where's this come from? But by the will, the act of the will, I refuse this. I will not entertain this. I will not listen to this. Go in Jesus' name. Sometimes you have to get in war for on times. Other times, it's just not entertaining it. You don't have to keep rebuking all the time. I'm not listening. And don't keep talking about the power of Satan and how he's got control over the mind and everything. There are a lot of Christians, sadly, talk more about the power of the devil than they ever do about the power of Almighty God. We're to avoid that one, as that will hinder your prayer life. Well, that's looking then on number 6 with regard to what we're talking about, standing against the devil by prayer. We'll look in another area, 7thly, number 7, prayer. Pray always with a repentant heart and a forgiving spirit. Never go into prayer if you're holding resentment, unforgiveness, or hurts. They won't be heard. You've got to deal with that first before anything else, as your prayers are going to go no higher than the ceiling. We know this from Mark 11, 22 to 24. Mark 11, this is in the context of prayer here. And he says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now, why is that there immediately after believing in prayer, receiving? Because he's revealed one of the main hindrances that will stop you receiving from God. That's why it's there, you see. So we come before God always in prayer with that repentant heart. Always confess it. If you hold anything you're not sure about, you're resentful or you're battling something, Somebody said, confess it first. Otherwise, the enemy has access and God cannot answer those prayers. This is very, very important, this one. And a lot of Christians at times are not very diligent with this. And then they wonder why prayers are not getting answered. And then they become despondent and depressed and just listening more and more to the devil's lies. See, God doesn't answer prayer. And number eight, pray according to the will of God. Now, I know there's nothing new about that, but we still need to know the word of God in which our prayers can be effective before God. And we're told, aren't we, in 1 John 5, verses 14 to 15, 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So what is that saying there? Well, it's saying we have the confidence that we have in him, not ourselves, not how I feel or what my day has been, but my confidence in prayer is in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, obviously, we find out what the will of God is by getting into his word and learning these promises. So he says, my confidence is not my own confidence. It's not my ability, how spiritual I am, how much I know the word of God. He says, my confidence I have in him. He's the one I have confidence in. His mercy, his grace, his love, the power of his spirit in my life. Therefore, that gives me a confidence to ask according to his will as I study the word of God. And then he says in verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So he says there is a witness of the Spirit. There is a knowing that God has heard you. And he reveals that by the Spirit. I remember Jesus, when he was called to raise Lazarus, what did he say before he called him forth? He said, Father, I thank you, you've heard me. He knew. He knew he was on a journey. He knew he was being prepared in which to raise this man from the dead. And here God is showing the same similar principle in prayer. And we know that he hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. So we are, it's a petition, it's asking God to heal my brother or sister, or to provide for their needs, or save their family, or whatever it would be. Those things that are upon our hearts, they are petitions. And he says, you can come confidently before me, knowing that I've heard your petitions, your prayers. That is a wonderful verse, those two verses there. I find they often give me great comfort, they do, in prayer when we seek him. But we pray according to the will of God. And that's why when we're praying about forgiveness, sickness, provisions, just some of these basics. We know what the will of God is. And we base our faith on the revelation of that will, what is revealed to us. The whole of God's word from Genesis to Revelation is revelation to us. And he reveals that revelation because flesh and blood cannot read this in the carnal, in the natural. And the Holy Spirit sometimes will quicken his word, will quicken a promise to you. He can do that. He's done that with me to help me with my faith, my prayers, my confession, my believing before him. But it has to line up with the word of God, you see. God will never answer against his word. You're wasting your time if you do that. So there we've looked at some areas with regard to our praying. Standing against the devil by prayer. Because that is whom we are up against, the powers of darkness, as I bring this to a close. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, dominions. And I wish to God that more Christians would be awake to this, that our prayers are so often hindered by the powers of darkness. This is why he tries to stop us praying. Praying, I'm not going to say is easy. It's one of those disciplines. It's one of those things that the Holy Spirit has to work and help us with. But as I've said in closing, if it's our heart's desire to be in prayer, to be in intercession, to go into spiritual warfare, then God is going to work on your behalf, because the church has got to rise up in prayer and start putting the powers of darkness to flight. The enemy has too much access amongst professing believers. And that is why we've spent much about the battle that goes on in the mind, because that's where he has access. And we draw our faith, our strength from the word of God and from these promises that the Spirit quickens to us, so that we can pray effectively. And you begin to watch. You will see God answering your prayers. You will begin to see things happening. And that is why Jesus said, as I close, my house is a house of prayer. And that is what it is. We take prayer very seriously. It is our priority above everything else, where we do things for God. Prayer is more important than your ministry. I have a ministry of pastoring and teaching the word, and it's a very important ministry, but what is more important is my prayer life, because nothing will happen without it. Nothing is going to happen in your life, or breakthroughs, whatever it is you're believing for, or so on. It changes everything. And he wants us, as we pray, to have that expectancy, believing. Even if it takes months or a few years, we're still expecting, believing. We don't give up. It's our confession. We press in. And that's what we do. We don't give up. As Jesus said, those that endure to the end will be saved.